From the Earl Carroll Theater in Hollywood, Philco Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer, presents... Your Radio Hall of Fame! Honoring today, Hedda Hopper and George Burns and Gracie Allen. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Paul Whiteman.
Thank you. And for the Philco Corporation, welcome to Radio's Hall of Fame, where every week we bring you stars made great by your recognition and applause. Today on the honor roll, we find George Burns and Gracie Allen and Hedda Hopper. We find, too, a great tune, Dancing Tambourine.
Dancing Tambourine. How will it sound on a new Philco? Words can't tell you the difference, but you'll hear it the minute you dial one, because the new Philcos are actually 10 years ahead of your pre-war radio. They're new all the way through, with exclusive new features, more power, improved design, finer engineering. And if you like recorded music, just listen to one of your favorite records played by Philco's patented new dynamic reproducer. It's the same type of tone arm used by the best broadcasting studios. And now, for the first time, available for your records at home. Makes them sound out of this world. Watch how much faster and easier Philco's new record changer handles them. The new Philcos are like that, full of revolutionary new inventions like Philco's Advanced FM, Philco's Automatic Radio Record Player that obsoletes all manually operated phonographs. Yes, you get a plus with a Philco, the plus that has made Philco famous for quality the world over.
I could go on for hours telling of my early experiences with George Burns and Gracie Allen. You know, all the ups and downs, the one-night stands, those vaudeville days, how tough it was, how we all cut our hands in the same slot at the automat. But to tell the truth, it never happened. When I first met George and Gracie, they were already famous. And I was, like any one of their radio fans, tremendously anxious to know them in person. I found them two of the nicest people I've ever come across, and I'm proud to call them my friends. George Burns and Gracie Allen.
For that lovely introduction.
Yeah, that was awfully nice of you, Paul.
Oh, I meant it, George. You know, I wished I'd met you and Gracie back in Baltimore.
Oh, Paul, did you know George gave me my start?
No.
Well, he told me I could team up with him, and if I made a hit, he'd split the salary with me.
That's right.
Gee, I sure hope I make a hit someday.
Keep trying, you'll make it.
You mean George still doesn't split the salary with you?
Well, why should he? He never really needed me. He was a big celebrity in vaudeville before he ever met me.
Celebrity? He had a dog act.
Yeah, but he's still a celebrity. When George walked on the stage with those 40 dogs, everyone recognized him.
We did pretty well for a dog act. Got nice billing, too. When we played a town, they put our pictures on every signboard and telephone post.
Oh, yeah, and were those dogs conceited? They wanted to stop at every...
Never mind.
That was a strange way for a romance to start.
Oh, our romance started when George was still touring the country with a dog act. He courted me by mail.
He did, huh?
Yes. Well, I'll never forget those glorious love letters he wrote me. Precious little nuggets of passion.
Yeah, old passionate George.
Yes. Oh, they were so beautiful. He signed each letter, Booksy Boy.
Booksy Boy.
Uh-huh.
What a command of English.
Forget those letters.
Forget them? Why, I remember every word you wrote to me. Those letters are branded on my heart. Burned there by love's little blowtorch.
Now, Gracie, Paul isn't interested in those letters.
Oh, yes, I am. Let's hear a few, Gracie.
Well, would you like to hear the one where George first hinted that he wanted to marry me?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh, it's such a subtle hint, Paul. It went like this. Dearest Gracie, I played Cleveland yesterday and the weather was awful. I woke up in the middle of the night and my feet were cold as ice. Get it, Paul?
I get it.
Gracie, Paul's not interested in that stuff, will you please?
George knew I had a weakness for poetry, too, Paul. He wrote me some adorable little poems, so touching.
Now, Gracie, please.
I'm proud of your talent, darling. Listen to this, Paul. I'm thinking of you, though you're far away. I miss you and need you. I want you each day. Without you, my darling, I'm hardly alive. I'm lonely, I'm blue, I'm broke. Send me five. Beautiful, huh?
A masterpiece.
Gracie, if you don't mind...
Now, here's another one, Paul. I long to be with you, my belle, but they hold my trunk at the Grand Hotel. And so you're in my thoughts again. I love you, darling. Send me 10.
They get shorter.
And sweeter.
Gracie.
Now, listen to this. I love you lots. I love you plenty. I love you madly. Send me 20.
What passion.
Gracie, will you stop?
I didn't know George had it in him.
Touching, huh?
Constantly.
Well, this is the last poem he wrote, and the shortest. Well,
let's hear it.
You're nifty. Send 50.
All right, Gracie, that's enough now. Forget it.
But there's one more letter that Paul must hear. Oh, it's so beautiful.
What is it?
Well, this is the one in which George finally did propose to me.
Really beautiful, huh?
Oh, divine. Listen. Dearest Gracie, I can no longer stand the shame of borrowing money from the girl I'm engaged to. Let's get married.
Shakespeare could take a few lessons from that kid.
Oh, will you two stop?
Ah, what tender memories. I better leave you two alone and talk them over.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you always for being a real friend, Paul. You know, you were the first big star who ever encouraged me. Years ago, you told me I had a wonderful talent.
You've still got a wonderful talent, George.
Well, thanks.
Take my advice and stay married to her. Well, see you later, kid.
Gracie. You know, Gracie, you embarrassed me by quoting those love letters in front of Paul. Why did you ever memorize them anyhow?
Well, it was the only way I could remember how much you owed me.
Oh, I see.
Oh, George, remember when you came back from that vaudeville tour and started courting me in person? Wow.
Oh, stop.
Oh, I was so excited. I was hoping you'd bring me flowers because Mama had such a lovely remembrance of her first date with Papa. He brought her flowers and she saved every one. She pressed them between the pages of a book.
She did, huh?
Mm-hmm. You brought me chocolates, remember?
Uh-huh.
My, I'd love to see them today. I wish I could get that book open.
You know, talking about our courtship really brings back memories, doesn't it?
Yes. You were so sweet when you were courting me. Every 10 minutes you tell me how beautiful I was.
Don't I still do that?
No. And you don't realize that a woman loves to be told she's beautiful. Even women who aren't beautiful love to be told they are. Although there, of course, I'm only guessing.
Yes, of course.
You were so nice to me in those days and so thoughtful. But now how do you treat me? Just like I was married to you.
But we are married. A preacher conducted a legal ceremony and pronounced us man and wife.
Well, he certainly killed a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, we were buddies. Gee, Gracie, you sound like you're sorry you married me.
Oh, no, darling. I'm proud that I married you. And I want the whole world to know how proud I am. The next time you have your picture taken, I want them to photograph you in X-ray.
X-ray?
Yeah, to show those people who keep asking me what I see in you.
Yes, that'll show them.
Well, there's never a day goes by that I don't thank my lucky stars I married you.
Well,
What a man you are. A rare combination of delicacy and strength. Like a fine old cheese.
It's a nice BL.
You're what every wife dreams about. The perfect lover.
Oh, honey.
How about a kiss right now?
Oh, Gracie.
Oh, come on. Scorch me, lava lips.
Gracie, there are 800 people out there.
I'd rather kiss you than any of them.
Well, okay, here's a kiss.
No, wait a minute. I better grab hold of the microphone. I might swoon. All right, I'm ready. Oh, what a bargain our marriage was. What I got for $2.
Oh, Gracie, I'm not so much.
Not so much. I wouldn't trade you for any glamour boy in the movies.
Not for Walter Pidgeon?
Certainly not.
Cary Grant?
No, sir.
Charles Boyer?
No.
How about Clark Gable?
George, you should have quit when you were ahead.
I guess.
George and Gracie will be back in a few minutes.
Our lovely singing star has just made the first recording of a tune that ought to reach the top pronto, and you're going to hear it now for the first time on the air. Martha, will you tell us the details?
Well, Paul, the song was written by Harry James.
Yes, heard of the boy.
And Lionel Newman and Charlie Henderson.
Well, it ought to be a good tune. There's enough manpower on it.
And enough title, too. It's called As If I Didn't Have Enough on My Mind.
I had troubles before.
Didn't have enough on my mind. I had to meet you. As if I didn't have enough on my mind. You fell from the blue. I couldn't sleep at night. And then you came in sight. And now my cares are multiplied by two. As if I didn't have enough on my mind, I had to meet you. Why did it happen? Adorable you.
didn't have enough on my mind. You fell from the blue, the blue.
I couldn't sleep at night, and then you came inside. And now my cares are multiplied by two. As if I didn't have enough on my mind. I had to meet you. Why did it happen? Oh, adorable you. I've had my troubles before, but now I've got more. As if I didn't have enough on my mind.
The Philco Radio Hall of Fame was created to honor those people who have made a significant contribution to the art of radio. And in keeping with that tradition, here is one of Hollywood's first ladies, Hedda Hopper.
Thank you, Paul. I'm thrilled to be here in Radio's Hall of Fame.
Hedda, you've been recognized for your many achievements as one of the country's leading columnists, for your outstanding radio commentary, and for your wonderful, fantastic hats. Yesterday, I received a wire informing me that you had won recognition for another talent, an award for having the best diction of anyone who has been heard on the air in the past year. In an industry that stays alive only through the spoken word, that is indeed a great honor. Hedda, may I tender you the congratulations of Radio's Hall of Fame.
Thank you, Paul.
Oh, George and I want to add our congratulations too, Hedda.
Oh, thank you, Gracie and George.
Hedda, have you always had such beautiful diction?
No. When I was a young girl in Altoona, I didn't need a drum to let people know I was coming. I just rolled my R's, like in mother and father. And then later on the stage, I clipped my R's, and you could hardly understand what I was saying, my dear. But radio sure put me on the right track. When you listen to a record of yourself after a broadcast, you know the whole truth.
Well, Hedda, let me say once again that you certainly deserve the distinguished award you've just received. By the way, before you go, how's that hot hat contest coming along?
Paul, Tom Prenneman and I asked the ladies of America to make us some hats. Do you know how many we've gotten in the past 3 weeks? About 20,000.
George, did you hear that?
Now, Gracie.
Hedda Hopper got 20,000 hats, and you complain when I come home with 10 or 12.
Paul, did you have to talk about hats?
Sorry, George.
And, Paul, that's not all. We expect another 20,000 before March the 15th. 40,000 hats in
well,
all.
Well, Hedda, I hope you get mine in the mail tomorrow.
Did you send in a hat, Gracie?
Uh-huh. I call it my Ingrid Bergman hat. Oh, it's beautiful.
Your Ingrid Bergman hat?
Yes, well, it's a sort of a Saratoga trunk. And over the left ear are the bells of St. Mary. it leaves you spellbound.
Oh, I can hardly wait to see it.
40,000 hats. What are they? Cheese boxes and mouse traps?
No, Paul, they're not goofy hats. Some are as beautiful as any I've ever seen. They show a great sense of imagination and creative ability. Those hats have proven to me that Mrs. America uses her head for something more than just to hang her hat on.
Thank you, Hedda, and congratulations once again. Martha Tilton came up with a new tune a few minutes ago, and now it's my turn. But I'm not going to tell you the title until we've played it.
Thank you.
suspiciously like everybody's step from way back in the 1920s.
Well, all right, Hedda, I admit it. It was just the same old step with its boots kind of polished.
Paul, please play it the way you first did on that wonderful record.
All right, Hedda. Boys, you all ready? Let's go. Anything, Pierre?
Yes, Paul. How long Philco has been tops in radio. And today, Philco is resuming its radio leadership with brilliant new features and engineering improvements fresh out of Philco's wartime research. Like the new Philco Portable with those brand new miniature tubes that'll make you forget all your previous ideas about portable radios. Now, that's the plus you get with a Philco. The extra touches Philco adds. The extra money Philco spends on circuit design, power output, operating features. And that kind of quality has made Philco the world's largest radio manufacturer ever since Paul Whiteman's band was playing.
Body and soul. And Pierre, that's one record I'm just waiting to take out of the Whiteman album and play again. Over Philco's great new dynamic reproducer.
You go for that, don't you, Paul?
Well, who wouldn't? In my judgment, it gives you the greatest reproduction of recorded music I've ever heard.
Well, Paul, you've heard them all, and friends, you've never before heard anything like Philco's patented new dynamic reproducer outside of a broadcasting studio. For the first time in the history of recorded music, Philco this year gives you a dynamic reproducer for the home. And you'll realize the improvement the first time you hear a new Philco playing. Yes, symphony. Ask your dealer about Philco's spectacular improvements in power and performance. He'll show you why Philco is famous for quality the world over.
George Burns, I was in Aeolian Hall the night Paul Whiteman first conducted George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. It was that premier performance which started the great Gershwin on the road to success. Once again, the king of jazz, the dean of modern American music, and master showman had helped a great young talent along one of the roughest roads of them all, the Stairway to the Stars. And here in Philco's Radio Hall of Fame, he's still at it, finding the people who will be your favorites tomorrow. Who is it today, Paul?
George, and ladies and gentlemen, this is Polina Carter, one of the most brilliant young pianists I've heard in recent years. I think her fine technique and her great feeling deserve much wider recognition. Polina plays Caricciosto by Dagnani. Ah, Paulina Carter, that was wonderful. George and Gracie, Hedda, it was a pleasure to honor you today in Philco's Radio Hall of Fame. Ladies and gentlemen, be with us next week when we honor Lionel Barrymore. This is Paul Whiteman, and good evening.
Other member of the Philco family, Don McNeil in the Breakfast Club. George Burns and Gracie Cotton can be heard on their own Maxwell House Coffee Show every Thursday. The Radio Hall of Fame came to you from the Earl Carroll Theater in Hollywood. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting.